You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, a very nice day on the calendar. And welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb. And on today's episode, we will take a look back at another, yes, I'm saying another Orioles victory. The Hoes were dominant, basically, in their win over the Mets last night in game one of a quick little two-game series at Camden Yards between the O's and the Mets. Orioles with a 10-2 win in that one. We'll give you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' victory that got them to 22-38 through 60 games so far this season. Then coming up in a little bit, we will take a look at the roster moves that the Orioles made before Tuesday's game as they reinstated Max Soroller from the injured list. Another one of the Rule 5 picks is finally back after missing almost 2 months with a shoulder injury. We will talk about kind of what his reinstatement means for not just the roster, but you know how Brandon Hyde's going to use the pitching now that he has you know those two Rule 5 pitchers back who he really can't send down to the minor leagues. They made a couple of other moves as well, and we will talk about those. And then right at the end, we will talk about Grayson Rodriguez. He was named the top pitching prospect in baseball by Baseball America on Monday, and then Tuesday night, he followed up with another dominant start at AA Bowie. We'll talk about him and what he means for the Orioles system, then take a quick look ahead at tonight's Game 2 between the Orioles and the Mets. But that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and you can join me every week to talk about the Orioles and get in on the action over at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So we start today with the five things you need to know from the Orioles' 10-2 victory over the New York Mets on Tuesday night in Game 1 of a quick little two-game series that gets the Orioles to 22-38 on the season. Really, the first thing you need to know is that Bruce Zimmerman has put together his third straight really, really good start and his fourth in his last five outings, which have been, frankly, really spectacular for Bruce Zimmerman. At this point, he gets the start and in the game goes five innings, allowing two runs on two hits, seven strikeouts, just two walks. And the one home run he allowed in the first inning was the only runs he allowed. It was a two-run shot off the bat of Pete Alonso. It put the Mets up 2-0 in the top of the first. That was it. You know, Bruce pretty much rolled for the rest of that game for those, you know, final four innings. You know, there weren't really many guys on base for the Mets. I don't even know if they had a guy in scoring position at all after Bruce got out of that first inning. He ended up throwing 90 pitches on the day to get through a solid five innings for Bruce Zimmerman, who now has three straight starts with at least six strikeouts. He's gone 6, 7, and 7. The seven Ks once again ties a career high for Zimmerman, which he, of course, set in his very last start. And, you know, that one was out there against the Twins last week. And, you know, we know he had a little bit of a rough outing against the Nationals. But if you look at the one before that against the Yankees, when he went 5 2/3 of one run ball in relief and struck out six, that's four out of the last five outings with six plus strikeouts for Bruce Zimmerman. And we always known he's had some good stuff, solid slider, but not huge strikeout stuff that he has. But it's kind of been what he's been doing over the last couple of games. Is he's striking guys out at a pretty good mark. And you know, in the game on Tuesday night, he, you know, mixed his pitches well. But once again, it was that slider. That thing is a crazy good pitch for Bruce Zimmerman. And once again, we have talked about this for the last couple of Bruce starts. He is mixing his pitches very, very well. Again, he threw mostly fastballs. He threw 35 four-seamers, but it was only 39% of his pitches. 35 fastballs, 32 sliders, and then 19 changeups, and he tossed in four curveballs as well. He got a lot of foul balls, 18 foul balls on the night. That's a pretty high number. But that slider, once again, he throws it 36% of the time. He had a 44% CSW. He got six whiffs on the pitch. He got eight called strikes on the pitch. He got four foul balls on the pitch. And he got five balls put in play on that pitch as well. It was fantastic for Bruce on the night. And, you know, again, that slider dominates when he throws it. And, you know, it's getting him outs even when it gets put in play. And, you know, it's an interesting pitch because, you know, it sits, right around 86 miles an hour. You can run it up near 88 sometimes. And it's not a big sweeping slider. You know, he has a sweeping breaking ball in his curveball. But, looking at the StatCast numbers, Bruce Zimmerman is in the bottom five in the league among qualified pitchers in terms of horizontal break on your slider, which means his slider breaks almost the least, from left to right coming out of his hand of anybody's slider. But I think that's what makes it efficient, because when most guys see a slider, they see that big sweeping pitch. His is almost like a glorified cutter, but it has some downward action to it as well, which makes it not a cutter. It almost looks like a changeup sometimes out of his hand, but whatever it's doing, it is working. That pitch is dominant. He's throwing it almost as much as he throws his fastball, and it has been a great pitch, and it's leading to a lot of success here for Bruce Zimmerman. Second big takeaway from the Orioles' 10-3 win over the New York Mets from Tuesday night is that, you look at the offense, and it was doing it again, and table setter Cedric Mullins was there once again for the O's. Cedric with a 2-for-4 night coming off his absurd weekend against Cleveland. He had two doubles. He had an RBI. He drew a walk as well. His average is up to 325. He's got a 935 OPS. He continues to set the table for the Orioles, and I mean, if he's doing this, he's going to be an all-star. He keeps playing like an all-star. He's just having a fantastic game. Third big takeaway from the game is that the Orioles got a whole lot of production from the bottom chunk of the lineup. Freddie Galvis, Pedro Severino, Michael Franco, and Pat Valaika. They padded 5th through 8th in the order on Tuesday night. Those guys combined for 9 hits on the day. They were a combined 9-for-17. They combined to drive in 6 of the Orioles' 10 runs. Pat Valaika returning off the bereavement list. He was huge, 2-for-4 with 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. Michael Franco hit a towering 3-run home run off of Robert Gesellman in the 5th inning that broke the game open, gave the Orioles an 8-2 lead. Only the 6th home run to go into the second deck in left field in Camden Yards history since the ballpark opened in 1992, just the 6th one. I tweeted out the videos of the, some of the recent ones. Manny Machado back in 2017 and Mark Reynolds in 2011 hit a couple of them, but they don't happen very often. It's tough to get into that second deck in left field, and Franco did that with an absolute moonshot. Pedro Severino with a couple of hits. Freddie Galvis with a 3-hit night. I mean, everybody was really contributing, but especially that bottom part of the order for the Orioles. Fourth big takeaway from the game is that, frankly, you had the bottom of the order helping, but the top of the order did it too. Cedric Mullins had the 2-for-4. You have Trey Mancini with the 2-for-5, couple of singles and an RBI. Anthony Santander had a nice game in the 3-hole. Mancini was hitting 2nd. Santander in the 3-hole, 2-for-4, a double, a homer, an RBI, drew a walk as well. And even Ryan Mountcastle, a little bit of a tough day for a while there, but ended up with an RBI single in a 1-for-5 as well. 8 of the Orioles' 9 starters had a hit. The only guy who started and did not get a hit was Ryan McKenna, who went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. But McKenna hit a laser to center field early in the game that Kevin Pillar, of course, had to make a great diving catch to rob him of a hit and an RBI. So McKenna put a nice swing on that ball as well. And the whole offense was just helping out the Orioles. And then the 5th and final thing you need to know from the Orioles' 10-3 victory over the Mets is that quietly here, it wasn't a very stressful day for the Oriole bullpen. When they went to Hunter Harvey in the 6th inning, it was already an 8-2 game. But quietly, very quietly, Tyler Wells is looking really, really good out of the Orioles bullpen. Wells got the 7th and the 8th last night. He pitched 2 scoreless innings, 2 perfect innings with 1 strikeout, went 6 up and 6 down in the ballgame. He has been really, really good over his past few outings after he was kind of getting hit around a bit early in the season. We talked about Max Soroller, the other Rule 5 pick, coming back, but Wells has really been stepping up. He's got 3 consecutive scoreless appearances for the Orioles, totaling 6 innings where he's allowed just 1 hit and no runs, and has struck out 5 with no walks in that time in May. He's been great. Wells, once again, he's just working that fastball changeup. He threw just 17 pitches to get through 2 innings, 10 fastballs, 4 changeups, 3 sliders. He got just a couple of whiffs, but, he was pounding the zone with that fastball. It was right around 94. It's been 95 on the year, and it was right around 95 today as well. He touched 96, but that changeup really falls off the table. you know, he was kind of for a while a mop-up guy who the Orioles were trying to hide in the back of the bullpen, you know, as a Rule 5 guy. You know, he wasn't pitching for, you know, 10-day stretches a couple of times. I think Tyler Wells is working himself into somewhat of a high leverage role for the Orioles, and if they're going to have two Rule 5 guys, that is really going to help this bullpen. But the Orioles do win it 10-3 over the Mets, take game one of a two-game series. O's now 22-38 on the season. But when we come back, Orioles did make some roster moves before Tuesday's game. We mentioned the Rule 5 picks. Max Soroller, one of those guys in the roster moves, he was reinstated with a couple of other moves as well. We'll talk about those moves and what they mean for the O's and the AAA team as well going forward. That's coming up after the break. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app, free to download. Once you're in, you can talk about the Orioles with me, other fans, insiders, really anybody in real time about these Baltimore Orioles. I'll be hosting rooms about once a week for Locked On Orioles, so you can finally join in on the conversation you hear right here every single day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about baseball. You have a chance to chat with me and even might have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Orioles podcast through our Locker Room conversations. And again, be sure to join me every week as I'll be hosting a room to talk about the O's. So go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. And follow me at Connor Newcomb to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live at least once a week, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Orioles. See you there at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, also brought to you by Lucy Nicotine, a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Lucy has created nicotine gum and also a nicotine lozenge in flavors like wintergreen, cherry ice, citrus, pomegranate, and more. It's convenient and it's discreet. You can enjoy the products anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. So it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. It's the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. And they are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can spend those pre-tax dollars on them. And for Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Also, have to give the disclaimer, warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. So head to lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. Well, if you listened to yesterday's episode, that was Tuesday's episode of the pod, we went over a whole lot of roster moves that the Orioles made over the weekend, the biggest one being claiming the infielder Domingo Leyba from the Arizona Diamondbacks. We talked with Millard Shane Thomas, the host of Locked On Diamondbacks, on yesterday's episode to talk about what Leyba could potentially bring to the Orioles. And, you know, speaking of roster moves, the Orioles pretty much went through a lot of them again before Tuesday's game. And we wanted to just kind of break those down as well, both at the major and minor league level. There were some moves made and talk about how it might impact the Orioles, not just now, but over the next week or two. So, you know, speaking of Leyba, we wanted to start there. He was officially added to the Norfolk roster. So, you know, we could start seeing him this week for the Norfolk Tides at the AAA level. And speaking of being added to the Norfolk roster, a couple of other guys were put to Norfolk. First one was Jamai Jones, who's been out for a few weeks now with an injury. He spent the end of last week at High A Aberdeen on a rehab assignment. He hit a home run in one of those games. He has now been reinstated from the Norfolk injured list to the Tide, so he is back and healthy, it looks like. That is huge, because you got to feel like at some point, maybe come July, Jamai Jones is going to be in an Orioles uniform in the major leagues. And the other guy added to the Norfolk roster is another good sign injury-wise. Austin Hayes will begin his rehab assignment with the Norfolk Tides in AAA this week. That is a big sign for the Orioles. So Hayes trying to come back from yet another injury that he has sustained. Hopefully, you know, the hope is by the time he plays some rehab games and goes through the intake testing, maybe by, you know, this time next week, maybe You know, we'll see how well the rehab goes, but maybe by this time next week, Austin Hayes is back in the Orioles outfield in a Baltimore Orioles uniform and helping out this offense and this defense at the yard even more for the O's. So definitely some big news there. And, you know, for Austin Hayes, the Orioles are still missing that bat. You know, I know Mullins has been amazing, and they have, you know, Santander back now, so that obviously helps. And out in left field, you know, you shift between guys like Stewart and Mountcastle and McKenna and others. But truly, Austin Hayes is the guy you want out there. When you have Mullins in center, you have Hayes in left, and you have Santander in right, I mean, that makes you a pretty darn good defensive outfield, not to mention how good each of them can be as hitters as well. And so, you know, we want to see that outfield play a lot of games together. We haven't because, you know, Santander and Hayes have had so many injury issues. We need to get back to that. Hopefully, again, by this time next week, Austin Hayes is back in an Oriole uniform, but we will be keeping a close eye on his rehab in Norfolk, not just for the stats, but, you know, how he is actually looking at the plate and in the field. But Norfolk also added back a couple of other players, as the infielder Ramon Arias and the left-handed pitcher Zach Lowther were both added back to the Norfolk roster on Tuesday, and that is because the Orioles added two players to their roster. Now, the first was Pat Valeika. He was reinstated from the bereavement list and, of course, was in the Orioles starting lineup in Tuesday night's game against the Mets that we talked about. And, you know, it's good to have Pat Valeika back. Obviously, you know, as of recording here, we haven't heard, you know, what transpired for him to go on the bereavement list. Obviously, you know, Pat Valeika and his family in our thoughts, and, you know, great to see him back on the field, but obviously tough whenever you see a player go on the bereavement list. But he is back, which sent Ramon Arias back down to AAA Norfolk. But, you know, the Zach Lowther move, which was actually made after Sunday's game. Remember, Lowther had pitched two innings out of the bullpen to finish up the Orioles' 18-5 win over Cleveland on Sunday, and then the Orioles actually optioned him back to AAA right after the game. So after they did that, they technically had a roster spot available all day Monday. Now, of course, they didn't need to fill it because they had the off day on Monday, but, you know, they were able to fill it on Tuesday, and they reinstated Max Soroller, the right-handed pitcher, from the 10-day injured list with that right shoulder tendonitis that he was dealing with. And I think a lot of Orioles fans actually kind of forgot about Max Soroller, and, you know, I don't blame you. Of course, the Orioles' first-round Rule 5 pick in the Rule 5 draft this winter, they plucked him out of the Cincinnati Reds organization, the 6'3", 26-year-old right-hander, and, you know, we know him as the nephew of Ben McDonald, but we only got to see him pitch in two games out of the bullpen for the Orioles before he went on the injured list with that shoulder injury. I mean, you got to remember back a ways. April 5th, at Yankee Stadium, he makes his debut with the Orioles. He shined in that debut, if you can remember all the way back there. 2 2/3 scoreless, hitless innings. Now, he did walk two batters, but he struck out four in those 2 2/3. It was a game the Orioles lost. They were well behind, but he did a fantastic job, almost going three innings of mop-up duty. Really helped the Oriole bullpen that day. And then, you know, because he was stretched out, we didn't see him for a while. And then we saw him 6 days later, April 11th. He pitched even his Camden Yards debut against the Boston Red Sox, and he got torched in that inning. Remember, he gave up three runs on five hits, did have two strikeouts, but he walked a batter, he hit a batter, he allowed two home runs, and then the next day, the Orioles placed him on the injured list with that right shoulder tendonitis. And again, that was April 11th. Here we sit, you know, almost 2 months later, you know, here on June 9th here, that he is back with the Orioles. You know, he's reinstated June 8th. So, you know, almost 2 months it took him. And now, you know, we did see him make some rehab appearances with most recently the Norfolk Tides to try and, you know, see if he was back. And, you know, he did pitch in two games with Norfolk. He made two starts at AAA on rehab, and frankly, they didn't go very well. He threw 4 1/3 innings over those two starts. Now, you know, he wasn't expected to go deep into the games. He was more the starter because, you know, when pitchers go on rehab assignments in the minors, they're usually the starters, so you know they're going to get in the game. You know, you don't want to put them in the bullpen and, you know, make out for a situation in which they, you know, might not pitch out of the pen, so they start those games. But he goes 4 1/3. He allowed 8 runs on 8 hits. He did strike out 10, which, you know, is a great number in 4 1/3, and he only walked 2. He did hit one batter, but he allowed 2 home runs, and again, you know, it's a lot of runs, 8 runs, 8 hits, and 4 1/3. The 10 strikeouts was good. He struck out Wander Franco, the number one prospect in baseball, with a really nasty splitter in the dirt in one of those games, but he did get hit around. So, you know, we will see how this all kind of develops for Max Soroller. But he is now back in the Oriole bullpen. And again, he is the one of the two Rule 5 picks, him and Tyler Wells. And, you know, he either has to be on the injured list or on the active roster for the entirety of the 2021 season for the Orioles to keep him around. And it's interesting to have them both back because, you know, after two appearances, he went on the IL. So for most of the season, the Orioles have been rolling with just the one Rule 5 pick, Tyler Wells. And, you know, there have been 10-plus day stretches where Wells hasn't pitched. He's mostly been in mop-up scenarios. He's been, you know, pitching in a little more key scenarios lately. You know, last week against the Twins when he had those three scoreless innings in a close game, that was probably the biggest spot he had pitched in. And he's starting to pitch a lot better, Wells is, so maybe he'll get phased into a little bigger roles. But when you have Wells and Soroller, you know, you can't have them both avoid, you know, somewhat high leverage scenarios. You can't have both Rule 5 picks being guys you're hiding on your roster. Sometimes you can hide one Rule 5 pick like the Orioles have done with Wells, but you can't hide them both. So it'll be interesting to see now that both of them are back on the roster, how Brandon Hyde uses this bullpen. And frankly, I think now we, at least Wells and eventually Soroller as well, we're going to see them both in some higher leverage scenarios, and the Orioles are going to truly find out, you know, if they are ready and if they do want them to stick in their organization and stay with the big league team for the entire year. But those were the moves that the Orioles have made. Again, Max Soroller is back, Pat Valaika is back as well, and we'll see if Soroller can turn things around a little bit after some kind of rough rehab stints, and you want to see him get back to that pitcher he was in his major league debut when he stifled the Yankees as well. But coming up after the break, one more segment here on the pod today. We are talking Orioles minor leagues because Baseball America came out with an updated top 100 prospect list back on Monday, and Grayson Rodriguez was as high as he's ever been. He was ranked the top pitching prospect in baseball and was one of five Orioles to make the list. And then he pitched at Double-A Bowie last night as well. We'll talk about all that, what it means for the Orioles, and how good this system is looking when we come back. So back to talking Orioles once again in just a sec. First, got to tell you about Built Bar. Now, you know Built Bar, the delicious and nutritious protein bars. They've got the 9 delicious flavors, like coconut, mint brownie, salted caramel, and my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. But here's the thing, you know, there's so many flavors to try. Maybe you haven't tried them all, so maybe you haven't picked your favorite yet. If that's the case, just head right over to BuiltBar.com. You can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Then you can try them all and, of course, make a decision for yourself. But here's the great thing about Built Bars. You know, you're eating all 9 of those flavors, trying to decide which is your favorite. You know, they're good for you, so you don't have to feel bad about having it, you know, a Built Bar every day. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So you can get the raspberry or the mint brownie or whatever you may like. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order as well. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we got baseball season here, and maybe you are, you know, putting down some money. You know, maybe throughout the month of May, you were putting money against the Orioles. Probably a smart person there. You probably made a lot of nice coin right there. But you can track all the baseball betting action at BetOnline.ag, but it's not just baseball. How about the NBA and the NHL playoffs? They have been fantastic so far. You can track all the action, get the latest news, odds, and all the info for those sports as well over at BetOnline.ag. So before the next pitch, puck drop, or tip-off, head over to BetOnline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. And you can head to the website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So while the Orioles at the major league level have actually been winning some baseball games again, the success continues at the minor league level for the Orioles. And, you know, the big mark of success is, of course, you know, where you rank sometimes in these prospect rankings, you know, not just in your own organization, but across baseball. And a big one came out on Monday. Baseball America released its newest and updated top 100 prospects in baseball. And for the first time in a while, the Orioles had five players in the top 100. Adley Rutschman comes in at number 2, Grayson Rodriguez number 11, D.L. Hall number 44, Heston Kerstad without playing a professional game number 77, and Gunnar Henderson into the top 100. He is now skyrocketed all the way up to number 89. So they got five guys in there, and I gotta say, you know, Jordan Westberg is probably knocking on the door of that top 100 at some point as well. O's could have six guys in there at some point. But, you know, the guy we really want to focus on in this top 100 is Grayson Rodriguez, because you look at that number 11 ranking and you think, oh, that's pretty high for him. And yes, that is the highest ranking he has gotten from any outlet, you know, doing their top 50 or top 100 prospects across baseball. And it's not only that he is number 11. I mean, that is an incredibly high ranking, gives the Orioles, Baseball America saying, two of the top 11 prospects in all of baseball. But right now in baseball, we're kind of at a point where all the best young pitching talent is already in the major leagues. And actually, in the Baseball America Top 100, all 10 of the top 10 players are position players, which means that Baseball America has ranked Grayson Rodriguez as the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball. Let me say that again. The Orioles have the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball in the right-hander Grayson Rodriguez. And a lot of that has to do with what he has shown so far this season in 2021. Of course, the Orioles put him in high A Aberdeen to start the year. He spent basically the entire season at low A Delmarva in 2019, dominated, was one of the best pitchers in minor league baseball, and you know, looked poised and ready to probably, you know, pitch in double A to start the year. But Mike Elias wanted him to at least get a little bit of time in high A, and he went to high A and just was completely dominant, to be honest with you. I mean, he was unhittable in Aberdeen. He made five starts in Aberdeen. He had a 1.54 ERA, 40 strikeouts, five walks, just four runs allowed on 11 hits in 23 and a third innings. And so he gets called up to Bowie. And what has he done in Bowie? Continue to dominate. His first start in Bowie, five innings, one run, eight Ks, four hits, two walks. Then he started last night for his second start with the Bowie Bay Sox on the road against the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. This one, just as good, probably better, for Grayson Rodriguez in a 12-0 Bay Sox win as they go to 22-7 now on the season. Grayrod, five scoreless innings, just two hits, six strikeouts, and two walks for the right-hander. He threw 71 pitches, just 71 pitches to get through five scoreless with 47 strikes. And I think the most impressive thing was his first inning. He struck out the side in the first inning last night on only 11 pitches. That is very, very tough to do, very close to an immaculate inning. But, you know, the Orioles having the top pitching prospect in baseball, it's just incredible to think, because we know the Orioles have had some great pitching prospects in the past, and they've panned out to different levels, you know, the Mattises, the Arriettas, the Brittons, the Bundys and Gosmans of the world. But this is different. And you know, even D.L. Hall at number 44 is fantastic. But, you know, Grayson Rodriguez being the number one pitching prospect in baseball, that says something. And, you know, I think everyone knows, we're not going to see Grayson in 2021 at the major league level. We're going to see him probably finish this season at Bowie. We may see him pitch at AAA Norfolk a little bit in 2022, but he's going to be pitching for the Orioles at some point in 2022. And when that happens, it's going to be awesome to watch. And we're going to get to see D.L. Hall in 2022, and we should see Adley in 2022. And, you know, these guys are going to start to come up and have success at the big league level. And, you know, I'm mentioning Jordan Westberg, Kyle Bradish might start to maybe find his way near some top 100 lists. I mean, the Orioles have some incredible prospects, and, you know, it's just been great to watch. And Adley's going to be the number one prospect in baseball at some point, because Wander Franco is going to make his debut before Adley does. But to have the number one pitching prospect in baseball, it's just saying it a lot, because it's fun to say. And this Bowie Bay Sox team is must-watch baseball. You know, it's exciting, and we get to watch Grayrod and D.L. Hall and Adley Rutschman all be on the same team. It is fantastic. But in terms of the Major League team, we know they weren't playing great baseball, but hey, they've been winning some games. You know, they won last two series. They have taken game one against the Mets in this quick two-game series. And game two of two will be tonight, a 7:05 start at Oriole Park, Camden Yards, here on Wednesday night. Barring any bad weather, I will be in attendance tonight for my second game of the season, so excited for that. But in this game, it'll be Taiwan Walker. He is going to get the start for the New York Mets. The 28-year-old right-hander has had a fantastic season, has a 2.17 ERA in 10 starts so far, 51 strikeouts in 54 innings. His last start at San Diego was actually one of his worst of the season. Really struggled with his command last week. 5 innings, 3 runs on 7 hits, walked 4 batters and struck out only 2. Orioles hoping that he has, somewhat of a rough start like that again. Of course, Walker did pitch against the Orioles when the O's went up to Citi Field. In that one, he was great on May 12th. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 4 Ks, and 3 walks. Walker is going to go up against Matt Harvey, who is going to make his second start against his former team this year. Harvey, so far this season, through 12 starts, a 6.62 ERA, 45 strikeouts in 51 and 2/3 innings. Coming off of that last start where he was kind of used as the opener against the Twins last week, 3 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 Ks, and 1 walk. And of course, Harvey has already faced the Mets once so far this year in his return to Citi Field back in that same May 12th game. He got hit around pretty good. 4 1/3 innings, 7 runs on 8 hits, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's hoping to have a little bit better of a time against his former team tonight. So the Orioles looking for a quick little 2-game sweep in tonight's ballgame. And tomorrow here on the podcast, we will be back with you to recap the action of tonight's game between the Orioles and the Mets. And then we're going to do a little bit of a look at the Orioles season so far, because the O's are now officially through 60 games of this season. Why is that significant? Well, remember 2020, the whole season was 60 games. So, you know, we'll look at kind of the comparison of 60-game season in 2020 to 60 games through the season in 2021. That's all coming up here on the pod tomorrow. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.